I just returned 4 days ago from Ireland. I was there for 2 weeks, and it was truly an amazing trip. And the Lord had his way. I saw him move by his Spirit in an amazing way. And just the presence of the Holy Spirit in every one of those meetings was it changed my life, what the Lord did there. And I know it changed many, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, being made free. And I met a truly free person in Ireland. I met a very special woman. Her name is Anne. Actually, I've known her for quite some time, and she's from Ireland. And I actually met her in this congregation, sitting down in the front here. It was the first time she'd ever visited Times Square Church about 6 or 7 years ago. Saw the place was packed, wasn't used to seeing things like that in Ireland, and decided that she'd go for it. She didn't know anyone in this congregation, and she would just come right down to the front and hopefully get a seat. She sat in a reserved seat, reserved for someone else, and found out and wanted to leave, but she was said, no, stay in that spot. That seat's for you. And little did I know, that day, the woman that he had brought into my life, my friend Anne, she is remarkable, because when you meet her, I have rarely met anyone more free in Christ in my whole life than this woman. And there's something very astonishing when you meet somebody very free in their spirit. There's something astounding about them. I don't mean like free as in loony or all over the map or can't be, you know, like just odd for God. I don't mean that, because we have met those. But I am talking about someone who is so focused in on people and so loves the Lord that she ends up with the most astonishing and astounding of stories, and tosses these stories off like they were nothing, that, you know, like this was an everyday occurrence. And this woman has a freedom because she has, you know, most of humanity is molded by things and impressed by the things of the world. And as a result, our personalities and who we are has been molded and impressed, not by the Spirit of God. And so most people walk this earth in one form of not freedom or another, and they end up, you know, their lives kind of beg the question most of the time, how am I doing? And how am I coming across? Because there's such a focus on themselves. But this woman has this freedom that happens when you allow the Lord to completely have his way in your heart and life. And she comes across as actually a very whole person and free from this self-protection and self-interest that many times can leave an imprint on the human race. And, you know, the kind of experiences that bind the heart and paralyze the emotions and keep the spirit so cynical and so critical and so self-preserving, and we think that's worldly wise. But I've met somebody of a different cloth, and I have just a simple story to illustrate this woman. I actually have two. But the first one she was telling me is one time she came to New York on business. And actually, she's kind of a big deal. She is an artist, and she's quite well known in Ireland. But to meet her and to talk to her, you wouldn't know that. She just comes across so simply and so beautifully. And she was in New York on business, and the company actually sent a limo to pick her up. And this big limo pulls up, and she looks at this. And in her own words, she says, well, I've got no one here to impress. I've got no father, no mother here to see me climbing in this big limo. So she gets in the front seat with the driver. She just totally disregards this big empty limousine and hops in the front. And she, when you look at her, why would you do that? I'm serious. I quote her word for word. I wrote it down. She said, I wanted to make him feel at home. You're the foreigner. And I wanted to know, what place do you inhabit that you're welcoming him into? Where do you live in your mind and your heart that you're giving him this very warm welcome into the world that you inhabit? And she lives in this free place where very, very few people live. She's so unimpressed by the limo. She's so impressed by the freedom she has in her soul. She's far more interested in the man driving the limo than sitting in that empty place way at the back. She has no one to impress, but she has been impressed by the Spirit of God. And she would rather get in the front with that driver and make him feel at home and make him taste and see and be at ease with freedom in the soul of another person that actually cares about him and wanted to talk to him and wanted to make him feel at home. Her with her Irish accent. I would have loved to have seen that driver's face when she got in the front seat beside him. But that's Anne, and of course she would have just shared and talked to him all the way, just to be friendly, just because there's another human soul. And why would she ever want to sit in the back when she could know him and talk to him? And this second story that she just tossed off, you know, after I sat there like amazed, she got in the front seat. But the second one was this story she told me about her neighbor. And her neighbor is a lady in her 80s. And one day this elderly lady came to her and said, "Anne, do you think you could cut those bushes down in your backyard so I can see you when you're in the kitchen?" And Anne said, "I will." And she cut them down. You know, most of my life, listening to her, I realized I spent growing up the bushes between me and people. Seriously. That great big green wall, you think is a living wall. It takes a long time to grow that wall of green. It takes a long time. And, you know, most of my life, I realized that I actually wanted to live behind those bushes and not let people one step in. I didn't want them to see me. And yet here is this woman with such freedom that it's like my neighbor in her 80s really needs to see me in the kitchen so she won't feel so alone. And so years of growth of those bushes get cut down because this lady asked her. And this is a lady that is free to be seen. Do you know what I mean? She's free to be seen. You can see me. If that brings you comfort, if you in your 80s, you live all alone and it brings you comfort to watch me in my kitchen, go ahead. And this lady just radiates that kind of life. That it's, you know, she wouldn't think it an odd request and she would not refuse it. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, it's wrong to ride in the limo or leave the bushes up. But you know what I'm saying? When I meet this woman with these most simplest of stories and most simple way of just, the way she shares it is, of course, you do that too. And this woman who's just so alive in Christ that, you know, I think of that scripture that says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And so many times, I don't know what it is that we just allow us. Firstly, let me just speak to Christians to back up. And Christ died for our freedom. And God, you know, when God made mankind, man and woman, he put them in a garden, totally free that they could enjoy this. And then man deliberately chose sin. But God was not found short-handed because he already knew that in giving man a free choice, in letting man be free to choose for or against God, that there would need to be a remedy in man in his freedom made the wrong choice, because God knew that love had to, that what is the most pleasing to him is this love that turns to him, and it's free and it's giving and it's free and it's saying, Lord, I want you and take my life. There is something about this freedom that God intended for the human heart and the human spirit that we have been robbed of. That sin and the world, our flesh and what people think, have narrowed us and formed us and impressed us in a way that is totally opposite to the way that God intended that a human soul live. That we live in freedom and that we live in communion with him. And so God, knowing that man in his free choice would make a wrong choice, God said that before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit said, man in his freedom making a wrong choice, that will not be the last word. That I will lay down my life that man can return to the freedom that I have originally intended. That he could be free to love me, free to know me, free to experience the life that I have for him. It will cost me my life. It will cost me to walk alone in this earth. It will cause me to be known as a man of sorrows. It will cost that their freedom would come at my expense, but I'm willing to do it because I created man to be free. I created him for freedom, away from sin, away from the dominion and power of sin, away from what the enemy, what the devil has planned, who hates mankind and hates humanity. And all the days he, a creature, will live to destroy and kill what God had intended for freedom, the human soul. The enemy is against freedom and always will be. And he who is so evil and so narrow and so constrained and so constricted, he wants to inflict that upon every human soul ever born. But God has another plan. It is for freedom that Jesus Christ died, that every human soul that comes to him, man, woman, or child, that will come to him says, when you invite me into your life, you invite freedom. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Beloved, we will be made free. It is not something that we work up or try to do. But the human spirit, the human heart will never be free till we are made free by the power of Jesus Christ. Where the scripture says you will know truth, and we understand by that that truth is a person. Truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will know truth, and we invite truth, who is light, who is the way, come into our heart, he will set us free by truth. We will understand who we are. We will understand who he is. And we will grow in the truth. And we will be made increasingly be made free in this life that Christ offers and gives us when we walk with him. Hallelujah. That you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's the testimony of a believer, is that we are made free. And then the life that God plans for us from that moment on is to walk into increasing freedom. That everywhere we hit a block, everywhere we hit a wall, everywhere we hit where the flesh says, I can't, everywhere we hit a place where we say, God, this is impossible, the Lord says, trust me. I am truth, and take my hand, and I will guide you into the truth of the situation. What I have to say to you will be truth, and trust me, because living in truth and abiding in my word and abiding in what I say to you, you will be made free supernaturally. And that is our privilege, to go from truth to truth, from freedom to freedom, because it is for freedom Christ died. He gets all the glory when you and I get free. And the more free we become in God, that we can actually, when a big limo, when our time in the sun pulls up, and it's not all about us, but we've been made free from ourselves and always just captivated by ourselves. But Christ liberates us from ourselves and opens our eyes to see people as he sees them. Open our eyes to see this incredible Christ who lives in us and who is able to speak and say, get in the front seat, and we do it. And we are made free, and we're changed by walking in that kind of life and walking in the Spirit. When I was in Ireland, there was a meeting that we went, that it was a midweek meeting. And it was a small town in Ireland. And it normally the church is there, you know, 80 to 100 people would be a very good sized church. And in this town of Monaghan, which is on the eastern side of Ireland, they advertised this meeting and where I was going to be speaking. They advertised it. They said that my ancestors on my mother's side all came from there. And so when I was introduced that night, they said there was this man in 1809 that married this, and this is how I was introduced, something that happened back in 1809. It was pretty amazing. And that's how they connected, you know, that you were from this place, and come and hear a woman whose great-grandfather used to walk these streets. And do you know they came out 500 strong? Which was very, very, very amazing. But that night, they had asked two men to give their testimony. And these two men, they were asked on the spur of the moment. One of them was coming to the meeting just to hear the meeting. And the pastor had come up to him and said, "Would you testify tonight?" And they're not used to large meetings. And this is very fearful for them to do that. And the pastor said, I will interview you, and you just answer the questions. And this man said yes. He had asked another man the day before the same question. Would he allow himself to be interviewed? And he also said yes. And so that night, two men stood on a platform being interviewed by the pastor in front of 500 people. And it was two men who had been, Ireland, as you know, had been at war many years with itself. And it was two men on opposing forces. And they had never met till that night. But if they had met each other 10 years or previous to that, they would have been sworn enemies and done everything in their power to kill one another. And this was a border town where, you know, one side where they escaped to in this town, where they committed atrocities against each other, and people who had committed those atrocities would escape into this town where I was speaking. And the pastor asked them one at a time. He turned to one man and said, how did you get there? How did you get to this place that you were fighting for a cause that no action was too horrible to contemplate or to do? And both of them had the same testimony. But before the first man spoke, he said, "I just want you to know, before I ever utter a word tonight, I just want to say that the Lord Jesus Christ has made me free and I'm a different man. But through my testimony, if anyone here or any family has ever suffered, has ever known loss, has ever lived in fear, has ever experienced terror, because of my actions, I ask your forgiveness." And when he said that, it was so powerful and so moving, because the question was, how did you get to this place? And this was supposed to be the place where he could finally get on a bandstand and explain his side of the story. But when he started out like that, you knew you were in the presence of a free man. You knew you were in the presence of a supernatural work that had pierced the darkness and rescued that man from his own background and his own conscience and the guilt that he felt, and brought him to a new place. And the pastor asked both those men that night three questions. How did you get there? Number two, what brought the change in your life? And number three, what are you doing now? And it was amazing as these men spoke so clearly, with such clarity and passion and so simply, what had happened in their lives and what God had done and what they were doing now. And both of them told the story where, you know, basically they were raised and to hate. They were raised to, they heard nothing but the grievances. They heard nothing about why they needed to hate, why they needed to never let go of the grievance and the wrongs that were done for them. And it was rehearsed in their ears as child. And by the time they got to be young men, they lived in a very sad and a bad time in their nation's history. And they got swept up in it. And they became people they didn't want to be at the end of the day. And yet, then the pastor asked them, what was the change? And both of them talked about how being driven to a place of desolation and driven to having to live with themselves and living with the consequences. They knew with their lives falling apart, God, I want to end this life I live. There is no hope and I don't want to continue living. One of them put in prison at 17 years of age, there till 24. How he was so overcome with depression and despair. How everything he touched failed, his marriage, his business. He was poor, he was broke. Another one who committed such atrocities that he was on the FBI sort of, you know, our equivalent list, hunted himself, committing acts that he couldn't even really speak and tell us. And yet both these men stood side by side in such power, in such humility, in such a miracle right before us that we truly see whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Both those men talked about the change of being brought to a point where they did not want to live. And yet Jesus, through many ways revealing himself, that they knew all of a sudden his name was such a magnet. And it was like he was, for some reason, a light in the darkness. And they were drawn to his name. And as they began to open their heart, that somehow there seemed to be hope in this name. That there was only knew hopelessness for years in their life, filled with guilt and shame, shaped by hatred, shaped by grievance, shaped by acts of violence. And yet somehow this name, the name of Jesus, seemed to be the only light in the darkness. And how Christ came to them, entered their heart, caused them to be stand on their feet, to know that he forgave them, to know that he gave them a new life, to know that he broke into their darkness and brought his freedom, his forgiveness, and his cleansing, how he gave them a right mind and a new spirit, how two men who were committed 10 years ago to destroying one another could stand as brothers on a stage in front of a community that knew their name and knew where they came for and said, Jesus Christ changed me. And I'm a different man. Hallelujah. And when they'd say, what are you doing now? One man would talk about how literally the government that he had been opposing now pays him to go into schools, that he can talk to young people and tell them about his life journey and how there is a better way, that you don't have to live with your fist clenched. You can live another life. And when they ask him, what is the hope within you? He tells them, you know, you come later, I'll tell you, you know, this is their dime. But they are so drawn by the freedom in him, by the change in him. They can't believe what he says the man he was that is the man before them. There is such freedom in this man. There is no trace of the darkness, of the anger and the grievance, of the guilt and the shame. There is none. And it is such a powerful testimony. The other man talks about how after living through depression, how God restored him, brought his marriage back, how he prospered him in his business, and how now he too is giving back into the community. And it was an amazing night. And the whole story was told in about 15 minutes. But it was so amazing. And you know that word that says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That word, made free, if you look up in the Greek, what that means, it means capable of movement. You shall know the truth, and you will be made capable to move from one place to another. You shall know the truth, and you will be given strength to stand up and walk out. You shall know the truth, and you will stand in the darkness and head towards the light. What used to fetter you and constrain you, what used to chain you and keep you bound, you will be made free. You will be given the ability to move from one place of darkness into freedom, into a new life, into a new place that is absolutely impossible except the Son come and take us out. We shall be made free by the truth he brings, by the truth Jesus Christ is, by the truth he will reveal to his heart. It is not something we work up. We just open our heart and say, oh God, I believe that it is your desire that a human soul live in dignity and freedom, that a human soul be lifted out of the darkness that wants to shut us down and the despair that comes with it. But God, your heart is that you would die for this freedom that you offer us. Hallelujah. And both these men said, oh Jesus. And there was such power in his name that there was capability given of movement from one place to another in Christ. And beloved, that is what Christ offers. And it doesn't matter whether we've been saved 25 years or 15 years. If we need to get up from one place where we are constrained and fettered, that is the hope every day. We can call on his name and be given power to move from one place to another, from freedom to freedom, from glory to glory. Why he died, that we could move from freedom to freedom, that we could not have one dark place in our heart by the end of this journey. By the life God gave us through his son Christ, that you and I at the end of the journey could end up like this woman Anne, that if someone needs us, we can say yes, we can say I will, we can choose actually the front seat of connecting with another human being instead of all shrouded, filled with a false glory and a sense of ourselves that is not based on truth and evaporates just like that. And if you don't know Christ tonight, beloved, you are hearing truth, truth that will set you free, truth that is able to take you from one place and move you into another, from one old life of death and despair, of where sin overpowers and easily overpowers, where we get to a place that we are people we don't want to be, where we're living a life we don't want to live, where we're ashamed, where we say, God, is this all there is to this life? Or not even to God, just to the blackness. Do you speak to it at night? Oh, this darkness, is this all there is? But tonight, you can know that God created you for freedom. God created you to live in light. God created you to live in the life he has planned for you. God has a plan, and it's called Jesus. And he's asking you, if you want tonight, you can know this plan that is lived through the life of his son, Jesus. If you, there is power in this name, and I know that your heart is being strangely warmed and drawn. That's why you are here. Jesus is here. And he wants to take you from one place to another. And he will freely give it. He who laid down his life for you will freely give you all things that you need. After he's given you life, he will freely give you the ability to forgive. The freely give you the ability to forget. The freely give the ability to let go of things that were strangling you to death and constricting your life. He will freely give you all things that pertain to life and freedom. That is why Christ, the Son of God, who is God, died, that you and I could have this freedom. And so, beloved, I just want to say to those tonight in the house that know the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our privilege as Christians to call on his name and have him unfetter, break what binds us tonight, and to believe that he knows the whole story. Call on his name. He understands, and he will move us from one place to another with his truth. He will bring us understanding and light and life. We don't have to, you know, live behind a green wall, not wanting to be seen. Jesus sees us. He knows the story. Say, Lord, cut down the bushes and make me a city on the hill that I will be seen, that you are moving me from glory to glory, where I can love people and I don't keep them at arm's distance. I don't live my life self-protecting myself. Lord Jesus, you opened your heart, arms open wide, and you kept them open wide the whole time you were on the cross. And you live in me. You're going to uncross my arms, and I'm going to be able to live a life with my arms stretched open wide in freedom, being able to love people, being able to sit in and care in the most unlikeliest places, just being able, available to people instead of pushing them away. Your life in me. Lord, you will make me a light, and people will be drawn to me, and I will be drawn to them, and I won't run away. We'll be moved from one place to another, truly a free people. So if you know the Lord tonight, let us believe him to take us to a new place. To a new place in him. To a new place of freedom that's ours for the asking. If you don't know Christ tonight, you can come down to this altar and you can say, doesn't matter what people think on the left and the right. Don't worry, the people on the left and the right have already done this. They will be glad you did this. They will be rejoicing you did this. If you want this new life, this divine life, this life you can't have for yourself by being good or changing. No, this is a divine life given from heaven that enters the darkness and breaks open the sin. And he, his blood, cleanses and forgives us. If you want this new life, and you will see the accompanying freedom it brings, I'm just going to ask you to stand right now. And I, as the musicians begin to play, this may be strange, but you want this new beginning tonight and this freedom that I am speaking about. This is not a motivational speech. I'm speaking to you the truth. If you will open your heart and walk into it, you'll be made free tonight. You'll be made free. If you want Christ and this new life, you come right now, just as the musicians are playing. We're just going to sing a little bit, and that's going to be your opportunity. Make your way down. Don't be afraid. Life and freedom is waiting for you. You just come now. No matter, even if you feel like what will happen, only good. God will come in and bring his freedom. And if you tonight are struggling with something and that you want freedom tonight, you just come to this altar and you believe God. You say, enemy, I'm not going to let you keep me live in darkness. It is for freedom. Christ died for me. I'm coming to get it all. I'm not going to let the enemy lie to me. I'm not going to let him constrain me and keep me back. I'm freely coming to the front saying, Lord, you know my situation. You know what binds me. You know what I don't have victory over. I'm coming for my freedom tonight. I'm believing you, God. I'm stepping out into the life you have planned for me. You come tonight as Greg and the choir leads us. You come and receive this freedom. Hallelujah.
He is able.
Let me just speak to those that have come to the altar and you're looking for that freedom, if you're looking for freedom, do you know you've just come into agreement with God? He wants freedom, and he calls the shots. Then it happens. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Whom the Son sets free, he sets us free. And if you've come to this place looking to Jesus to set you free, can I tell you, it's as simple as that. He will not disappoint you. Because greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you. If you are a believer, great, I don't care if you've been a believer only 1 week. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Greater. And God says, prove me, I'll show myself. I'm not a man that I could lie. I don't make a false promise to you. I love you. My eye never leaves you. I am with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Now prove me. I am greater than that area of bondage. I am greater. I love you. I'm so proud you have come down and just stepped out to trust me. You are in agreement with me. Prepared. I am visiting you now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm setting you free. You are free indeed. And when the enemy, all he can do is lie, he's so afraid that you and I step into the light, because it's that simple. It's stepping into Christ and saying, Lord, defend me. These enemies are too strong. He says, done. You call on my name and you will see. Beloved, that is the secret. Christ in you is the hope. Christ in you is the hope. Greater is he that is in you. He is greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please do yourself the favor. You don't have to go through years and years of theology explaining away our unbelief. Let's get to what Jesus said. We heard this afternoon, his word will not return void. He says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not ashamed to call you my brother. I'm not ashamed to call you my sister. I see everything about you, yet I love you. I am with you. I am for you. And greater is he that is in you than anything that will come against you. And believe it tonight. Call on his name. His name is greater than any bondage, any darkness. I have seen the power of it over and over. Hallelujah. I've seen that testimony of two men shaped in hate, shaped in grievance, step out into freedom, and not just free for themselves, but have turned around and looked on the left and the right and say, there will not be a legacy and a generation that has to come up so sad and so mad the way I did, misshaped with a marred identity. It shall not happen anymore, because Christ set me free. And when you and I say, Lord, set me free, that I may be an instrument of freedom to those on my left and my right. Just like my friend Anne, who says, God, it's my joy to sit in the front seat of a limo, not in an empty place full of myself in the back, but it's about people, and I'll sit in the front to make this man feel at home around a free person, so he won't be afraid of what Christ does in a life. My friendship will win him. My care will win him. If you've come to this altar seeking freedom and saying, Lord, the freedom now that I receive, Lord, it's a trust that, Lord, I'm going to live my life now. I'm going to step out from behind the bushes and not be afraid of people anymore. But you're going to open my mouth and I'm going to testify to what you did in me. I tell you something. It's freedom upon freedom. And may I say joy upon joy. Because when we learn to live for others, and the joy that Jesus promised is in that exactly. And you will be made free to see others set free. When we dwell in freedom, we cause people around us to live in freedom. That's the truth. That's the truth. You're being set free tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that those, Lord, all over this place that have come to your name and to the testimony of what you do in a life, Lord, we bow to that word that says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, indeed, I thank you we leave this place indeed, working it out. Oh God, believing on your name, you will be faithful, Lord, and you're setting us free for your glory. Now, Lord, I thank you that it is for your glory we're being set free. So open our mouths, oh God, and don't let us be afraid to speak of what you've done. Let us open it by faith, God, and you will back us up. And there will be a light and a power in us, oh God, that draws people. Now, all over this place, you've come and you want Christ. You have come for the first time to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and the life that he's offering you now. Just would you raise your hand? Just all over this place, you want Jesus. You're asking him into your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those, may I say, he'll come in. He has come in right now. He's come. He has come. He lives in you now. If you would just repeat after me this prayer, not the prayer saves you, but when the devil tries to lie to you and say, that didn't happen, you can say, no, devil. I prayed a prayer. I moved in the direction of what I heard tonight, and you can't take it from me. Because Jesus will not allow your head to go under. He's with you now. He's in you, and he's greater. But for those that are just coming to Christ for the first time, you could pray this prayer. Just repeat this phrase after me so that out of with your mouth, you are going to start saying the truth that you're saved. So would you just repeat, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and all my wrong things I have done. Thank you for forgiving me. Now thank you for cleansing me. And thank you for the new life you are giving me now. I thank you. You will be with me and you will never leave me. And there was now a miracle in my heart. You live there and you've brought your life and you will make it very real to me. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I am saved. I am saved by Jesus. I am saved. I am loved by Jesus. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Neil is going to comment for all those that have just opened their heart to Jesus for the very first time. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to a life of miracles. Hallelujah. Welcome to a life of change. Welcome to a life of light and love. Welcome to this new life. You're a brand new babe in Christ, and he's going to explain to you how as a babe you can grow. For the rest that have come to this altar believing God for your freedom, you are free. You are free indeed. And you can thank him. You can believe on that name that has drawn you to this altar. He will not fail you. And he is greater than anything that will oppose you. Even as you leave this door, he is greater. And just with that one thought, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. That is like the stone David used to take down the giant. You just need one scripture and you just keep flinging at the devil's forehead. You triumph over his thought life. Don't let him triumph over your thought life because you're filling it with the word of God. It will not return void. It will not disappoint you. It will change you for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.